Now, we've been doing for the last few weeks a run-up to Christmas, and we ended up with Luke 2, the beginning of it, that, as I said last week, Pat and I always read that every morning, Christmas morning, before opening presents or anything, just because it keeps it in our mind what this is all really about. Well, after that, chapter 2 keeps going on. So, what happened after Christmas, immediately following? Well, that's Luke 2:21-38. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus. Actually, Yeshua, but this is the Greek version. The name the angel had given him before he was conceived. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. This is actually for Mary, the purification rites. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts, where the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and will be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Help us to understand it and help us to understand what's important about it. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the background of this is very simple. The laws of the Jews set forth by God required that on the day, eighth day after birth, is when the child was named, gave you 8 days to decide what are we going to call this kid. You know, it's like if you wanted a boy and you got a girl, oh no, now you got to think about this for a while, whatever. But on the eighth day, you name the child. Now, for a girl, obviously, you don't have circumcision. You just go, this is what her name is. But for a boy, that's when he got circumcised and became a part of the nation of Israel. See, in the Middle East, women take the status of whoever is responsible for them. If they're a little girl, it's their parents. If they're married, it's their husband. But they take the status. So, for a girl, it's just like, okay, father circumcised her part of the nation of Israel. For a boy had to be circumcised because that brought him in to Israel. That was the circumcision was the ceremony that brought him in to Israel. We have times in which the Israelis were dealing with various people, and they would say, "We can only deal with you if all your males are circumcised." Sometimes they used that as a trick because they'd all go get circumcised to him, and then they'd go attack them while they're still in pain. So they're walking around all bow-legged trying to fight. But secondly, they went for purification. It's funny, if a boy is born, then you have to wait 6 days of purification. If a girl was born, you'd have to wait 12 days because I guess they're more impure or whatever. I don't know. But anyway, but if it was a firstborn, you had to take him to the temple, not just your synagogue or anything, to the temple, and you had to dedicate him. Yep. And once again, this is not necessarily, it's like Casey would not be my firstborn. She was the oldest, but Walter's my firstborn because he's the firstborn male. Okay? That's the way they look at it. So there's this old boy, Simeon. And God told him, "You've been a really good servant, Simeon, and you will see my Messiah before you die." And so all of a sudden, one afternoon, he says, "Go to this temple right now," because he's there. And so he did. And as we read, he said all kinds of good stuff about him and said, you know, "Oh, isn't this wonderful? I can go be with God now because I know that the Redeemer has come." He was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. That's the way they put it, the consolation of Israel. Basically, what they was looking for was reconciling Israel to God in a permanent way. Every year in September for us, but it kind of varies a little bit for the Jews because they have a kind of a squirrely calendar, they have the Day of Atonement. And in that day, they are reconciled to God. But they don't stay reconciled to God. They immediately start back out because, as we know, all of sin falls short of the glory of God. You can't stop it. And so they go out and they begin piling them up again until next Day of Atonement. Well, one of the things about Messiah was he would remove all of the sin. And you wouldn't need to do this anymore. Well, he did, turns out. I found it very interesting. On Fox Nation, they did a thing about the life of Jesus. Well, it's two parts. One was a part that was about Christmas and then talks about the beginning of his ministry. Then in the spring, they're going to do, around Passover, they're going to do the end of his life and talk about the rest of his ministry and how it ended. Mm-hmm. But it's very interesting that they set such great store by who is Messiah and what can he do. And what he could do was he could take all of the sin that ever was at the time or ever would be, and carry it away. That's very different than any normal person. We have a sermon that I've done about that. Spirit had told him he would see the Messiah. Now he revealed to him this was the Messiah. He blessed them, but he told Mary that her soul would be pierced. And of course, as we know, at the cross, she was watching Jesus die. And her soul was deeply pierced. So then there was this lady Anna, who was a prophetess. She would tell them things. Now, a prophet back then was somebody who told you the message of God. This is what God wants you to know specifically. And it could get them into a great deal of trouble because a lot of people didn't want to hear what God had to say to them. But she was also looking for the Messiah. And God had said, go to the temple. She's actually living in the temple, but said, go out in the courtyard. He's here. And so she did. And she thanks God for this child and then goes around telling everybody who he is. This is the guy. Come on. It's a baby. Nah, this is the guy. Or he will be anyway. So then we also have another bunch that we talked about just before. That's called the Magi. That's where we get the word magic from. They were looking for the king of Israel. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who's been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose. We've come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed and all Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. He's the king. Why does he not know? Anyway, in Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. This is in Micah, and everybody knew it. But Herod apparently didn't. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so I may go and worship him. Yeah, right. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child was Mother Mary. Notice it's a house now. It's not a stable. And they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream, they did not go back to Herod. They returned to their country by another route. When they'd gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child because he wants to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I have called my son. Now, this is only found in Matthew, because Matthew is the gospel that was sent to the Jews. He's trying to show as many scriptures as he can from the Old Testament that lead to Jesus. And it's believed they were still in Bethlehem by now, in a house, and Jesus is referred to as a child, not a baby. So, later we find that when Herod went after him, he said, kill all children 2 years old and less. So we estimate it must have been approximately 2 years that they'd been there since Jesus was born. And so they came and they brought him gifts, and they're very specific. Gold was for royalty. He was royal. He was the king. He was the son of David, the ruler of Israel. Frankincense is for priestliness. He was the high priest, even if he was from the tribe of Judah. Because later we see that Paul says he was a high priest by the order of Melchizedek. Now, Melchizedek was a guy that blessed Abraham, and Abraham gave him a tenth of everything he'd gotten from attacking people who had attacked him. But we don't know where he came from. We don't know what happened. We don't anything. He was not an Israeli person. He was just a guy who was there. Mm-hmm. Now, there weren't any at that time, because this was Abraham, there weren't any tribes yet. And so Paul says he blessed Melchizedek by Judah, even though Judah was still in his loins, as it were. So, Jesus was the high priest. He is our high priest now. He's the one who can go and talk to God for us. Myrrh was for burial. That's what they would put on people when they got buried. And so they're talking about the fact that he's a king, and he's a priest, and he's going to die for the people. So he had to escape because Herod wanted to kill him. So what does this all mean to us? Well, remember, God is faithful. Whatever he says, he does. He told Simeon, "You won't die until you see my Messiah." He found Anna to be a worthy woman, and so he showed her the Messiah. Sometimes there's hurt mixed with joy, as Simeon had said about Mary. She knew that Jesus was paying the price and doing what he had come to do, but it also pierced her heart. God honors those who he chooses. Now you see, when you begin to read the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, which the Jews will not read, you see all kinds of stuff about Jesus getting the crap beat out of him, getting crucified, all the terrible things they're going to do to him. And then at the end, it says, because of this, he's honored by God, and he has an inheritance, and he has descendants. And when he says descendants, they mean spiritually. And then later Paul says, for the joy set before him, he went to the cross. Now, going to the cross wasn't going to give him joy. There was something else that gave him joy. And this was what it was. God always protects those who belong to him. He told Joseph, Herod's going to try to kill this kid. You know that he's got a job to do and he can't be killed. Go to Egypt and stay there till I tell you to come back. Now, what we think happened was he'd been staying in Bethlehem, because he was obviously famous for this, wept to the shepherds, told everybody and their ancestors what had happened. Goes to Egypt, spends time, and when Herod has died, he comes back. And at that point, we think, is when he went back to Nazareth and stayed there, and Jesus grew up. And it says that he was obedient to his parents. See, even though he was God in human form, he had a father and a mother, and he honored them as his father and mother. So, this is what happened after Christmas, right after. Okay? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we've been here tonight. We thank you for the explanations you give us of everything that goes on, and oftentimes why. And we thank you that there are things you hide from us because we don't need to know them. And then you spring it on us and say, you see, I'm taking care of you. Don't worry about it. Go with us as we go out into the world. Help us to lead people to know you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for being here, guys.